Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sumi is called the art of the unique brush stroke because you do not correct what appears on the paper. You are in a kind of special attention to the moment. So when you paint, you don't think this is brush stroke is bad, or I don't know why this. No, you do not judge what you are doing. You do not judge what appears. And this is, for me, very interesting to not in only in art, but in life.
Yeah.
To accept what happens on the paper.
I think art is a form of expression for an artist. It is so personal, it's inspiring, thought-provoking. It's like a language in itself that can be interpreted in so many different ways and I believe can change lives. I am so in awe of all the artists that I have chatted with in this series, and I have personally learned and gained so much from each conversation, and I hope you do the same. So happy listening. Hi everyone, today I am in conversation with Cristina Dominguez. Cristina is an educator, counselor, artist. She wears so many hats, but as she has told me earlier on, that she's now become a full-time artist. And I also want to add here, knowing her background, that she's also a traveler, just like I am. So thank you so much for talking to me today, Cristina. And I understand that you normally live in Barcelona, but at the moment you're up in the mountains. Of course, we're going to hear a lot about that from you. So thank you. I'm really, really happy to be talking with you today.
Thank you for your invitation, Payal. It's a really pleasure for me to stay here with you and just talk about life and art and future projects, or not so future, perhaps present projects.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe we should start in that order then, as you've mentioned, talk about life and then art. So, you know, as I mentioned in my introduction, you were or you still are more into education, right? Before you became a full-time artist.
Yeah, in fact, I studied history and geography. I have a degree in these two disciplines. And 30 years ago, I traveled to Russia. I was studying Russian because I was really interested in history of the revolution, history of ideas, of course. And I was really interested in this part of the world. So when I was 21 years old, I did not finish my degree. I went to Moscow to study cartographics. Cartographics is making maps. And after this experience in Moscow, I worked 10 years as a cartographer. My life in the editorial world was just making maps. I enjoyed a lot this part of my life, close to drawing, yeah? Because cartographics is a kind of art with mathematical flow inside.
Yeah, because you have to put the you know, the latitude, the longitude, all of that.
All the points have to stay in an exact place, etc. So after this period, I felt that my work was not in contact with people. So it was a really intellectual and a kind of bit artistic work, but I need interact with people. So then I studied as a counselor. I prepared 2 years as a counselor because I really interested in communication and I wanted to understand people. So with 39 years old, I started these studies. And just finishing, I worked as a teacher during 10 years more, teaching history and geography, my original studies. This period was absolutely amazing for me. I loved teach kids from 10 years to 18. My studies as a counselor helped me a lot to understand his problems, what happens in the school, what happens in their lives. And after that, I started my full artist life.
So how did that transition happen? I mean, and what kind of, do you remember this one point in your life and, you know, and the reason why you decided to transition from doing all these wonderful things to becoming a full-time artist?
It's not a beautiful event. I lost my work in a not really beautiful context. I did not understand this event. Now I can understand that it's an event that it's not really relation with me, but with the school life and the institution decision. So I was practically 50 years old and I decided to stop and think what I want to do. I want to work for third part in a project of other people, other institution. No, I want to feel that I'm working in my own project. This was the interesting thing in this change of life. I think that I could think in these terms because I have a family. My husband has a good work. I worked 25, 27 years nonstop. So the circumstances me permitieron, how to
permitted
say
you and allowed you to
allowed me to think what I really want to do. And I really wanted to paint. But the interesting thing is I do not only want to paint, but teach other people paint. The both persons are inside me. There is an artist,
and
but
the
there is
teacher.
A teacher.
Because you were a teacher at one point. So,
Sometimes I think that in me is group is more strong, the teacher than the artist. But let's see in a few years which one of my parts is stronger. But you know, the artist life sometimes is isolated. There is something hard in being an artist because always you are in dialogue with yourself. This is the reason sometimes I need to expose me in front of other people and teach them. And the interesting thing is that sometimes I discover, when I paint, I discover perhaps a technique, perhaps a trick, or perhaps something about the struggles of painting that I want to teach to other people. And I feel that there is a kind of beautiful energy in this game.
Movement,
movement,
interesting, it and so this also enables you to interact with other people, and at the same time, you know, share your creativity and probably You know, it kind of gives you other ideas as well,
Of course,
when you connect with different people.
yes. When we are together, sometimes we together think new projects, new ideas, and this is a kind of air for me. It's energy that perhaps alone, only with my production, it does not
It
exist.
doesn't happen. Okay. So I remember when I met you in Barcelona very, very recently and just by chance. And I'm so happy that that happened. And this is, you know, this is what it means to get connected to people, right?
Yes.
So you did mention that, you know, you were very fascinated with Japanese art, and you spent time. I mean, if you can just recall for me that story that, you know,
Yes,
and for my listeners.
it's a funny story, and I think quite unique. As I mentioned, I'm not an artist with a degree in arts. My degree is in cartographics, and as I mentioned, I studied cartographics in Russia in 1991. At this time, it was not Russia, but the USSR.
USSR,
USSR, yeah. And there in this cartographic institution, university, I met a Chinese woman who was there just improving their Russian. She was a Russian teacher in China.
Oh, sorry. So it was not Japanese, it was
She
Chinese.
was Chinese
Okay,
and
sorry.
she was there because, of course, political relations. I'm talking 30 years ago, and now it's more or less the same. These relations between China and Russia, so complex relations, continue. But anyway, this woman, she was 41 years old, and I was 21 years old. This woman was there just because my tutor or teacher was friend of her. And my tutor decided to send us both together to different Russian cities just for practicing Russian in her case and know the country and other cartographers in Russia in for me. So the question is that we traveled together sometimes understanding nothing because the country was in a kind of chaos. But anyway, this experience was incredible, a kind of magic. Every night, when we sometimes no dinner, no lunch, no train, no meeting, lots of chaos things. But every night, before going to sleep, Huang He is her name, started to practice a little bit of calligraphy and painting. This kind of Chinese and Japanese art called sumi-e or shuibokuga or shodo. Anyway, the question is that is my first contact with this kind of art in a very unique way. Context. I think this is something special in my life. So, 30 years later, I remember the feeling I felt in these times, and I decided to practice. Because I've been working 30 years, I did not practice this art. But exactly, I don't know why, but in a moment, 2 years ago, I decided to practice in deep this kind of art because I think or I felt that is a kind of meditation. And this is the thing I showing now in Barcelona and here in La Garrocha with this type of art.
So you're saying that art is in your mind like therapy?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And healing. So how, yeah, so give me some examples of, you know, how some art that you have created has impacted someone else. And, you know, and you've heard about how it's uplifted them, or, you know, if it's brought about any kind of social change in their lives. Any examples that come to mind?
Examples from me or?
Yeah, from you.
From me. Yeah. For example, this last December, I participated in a global international exposition in Tokyo with more than 400 artists who practices sumi-e, this kind of paint,
from
all over the world.
And they all came to Japan.
The works, not the people, but the works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Few people went to Japan, but it's more than 420 works of sumi-e in Tokyo. And the exposition is called Art Beyond Boundaries. And the people who organizes this exposition want to show that art is really beyond boundaries. I don't know if you know, but in Japan, for example, now there are lots of Ukrainians who went there, and they are working, helping these persons that are in this
situation.
Complicated situation.
Yeah.
But of course, they invited Russian artists. And it was really interesting in the opening event to see all these people together, because art is
beyond conflict, beyond something.
Art is beyond, for me, is my feeling and my thinking and my practice. On the other hand, in my courses in Barcelona, we met in Taller Balam, there is coming people with mental problems and illness, and practically always they say me, this time painting with you is different time from the rest of my life, because sumi-e is really, when sumi-e arrives to Japan through Buddhist monks, is a kind of practical meditation. Sumi-e is the practice that the monks do between the normal work and the meditation. For example, you are working in, I don't know, anyway, in a work, and it's time to meditate. Before meditate, you practice 20 or 30 minutes of sumi-e. In this time, how to say, thinking goes down, and the body, I don't know how, but you feel your body more than before. After this work, you can go and sit.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And meditate. I explain this. I practice this with my students, and practically all of them feel that this kind of artistic practice is not just art. It's not just creation. It's a way to connect with
your inner self. So it's basically you connect with your inner self. You're able to feel a sense of calmness and, you know, a sense of well-being. And, you know, so whatever stresses that you have in your day-to-day existence with work or family or whatever it may be, it kind of helps you to process it and relax. Okay, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I mean, which is why Japanese practices are considered to be so so calming, and you know, and that's why the word Zen comes from.
This is Sumi is one of the parts of Zen practices, like Ikebana is a floral arrangement, like the tea ceremony, and so on. And Sumi is one of these Zen practices.
So just a little more about Sumi and, you know, what, like, are there colors? Are there any specific kind of, you know, paints that are used? Is there any, is it free flow? What's the method behind it?
Okay, because Sumi has a very, very long story, I can say that it's interesting to study what happens with Sumi during this time, because there are few things that change, but other things hasn't changed. So the interesting thing for me, or part, is the part that has not changed, because it's a long, has a long, long, long story and arrives to us. Sumi, first of all, you are always using traditional materials.
Okay.
First of all, the ink, I have an ink here, perhaps I can show you later.
Okay.
Ink is a natural ink produced with natural oils and products, no chemicals there. Fude is the brush, call it Fude. Fude is made with natural hair too, but I look for brushes that are respectful with animals, of course.
Yeah,
it's necessary to pay attention to these things. The other traditional element is paper, rice or bamboo paper. Very, very old production arrives till now. And the fourth treasure, because these elements are called the four treasures, is the stone where you prepare the ink. These four elements are used till...
They've been always, yeah.
Always, like, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Until now, we continue using these treasures. Then, what about teaching Sumi? It's very interesting, because it's a kind of, for me, as a woman of the Mediterranean, it's a very... oriental way of thinking, because you learn through paint for different flowers or plants. Bamboo, chrysanthemum, prunus, how to say in English? Ciruelo.
True. Yeah, I think I know what it is, but anyways, yeah, we can
and,
look it up later.
And,
yeah,
and the orchid.
Okay.
Orchid,
yeah.
And the student, the first things that the student learns is to paint these four plants or flowers, but you never leave these flowers. You, during your life, continue to practicing with these four honorables caballeros is the name in Spanish.
Okay. Caballeros is horseman. No, it's
no,
not. Yeah, I think I. Yeah, I will. You keep talking. I will tell you.
Yeah. The four nobles. Anyway, and the painter.
Gentlemen, yeah.
The four gentlemen, yeah.
Gentlemen,
you
yes.
Paint the four gentlemen during your whole life,
yeah,
and feeling that you are practicing with the same gentleman, you know, flower or plant, you are always learning something different. You are always looking at the same, but you are always seeing something different and new. This is the magic of Sumi for me, because you are trying to look at the same thing with different eyes.
Yeah, every time there is a different perception, or you
yeah.
know, you
yeah.
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 It could also depend on how you're feeling
mood.
On that day, your
mood,
mood.
Your
Yeah.
feeling.
Yeah.
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 There is another very interesting thing that in Sumi is called the art of the unique brush stroke, because you do not correct what appears on the paper. You are in a kind of special attention to the moment. So when you paint, you don't think this is brush stroke is bad, or I don't know why this. No, you do not judge what you are doing. You not do not judge what appears. And this is, for me, very interesting to not in only in art, but in life.
Yeah.
To accept what happens on the paper.
Yeah.
It's a kind of school of acceptance or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very, very, that's actually quite philosophical, but at the same time, you know, it is reality, and a lot of people need to adapt that way of thinking into their lives. And the fact that you've been able to do it using, and you've understood the concept and appreciated and have brought it into your life and have made it like a practice for yourself, and then you're able to share the same with all the other people who are a part of your, you know, who are students. And I'm sure your extensive network of family, friends, you know, if you're able to reach out to these people through your teachings, I think that's quite commendable. Christina, tell me a little more about some of the projects that you are working on at the moment.
Okay. As you know, I make different workshops in Taller Balam in Barcelona.
Which
yeah?
is an art gallery.
It is an art gallery and little art school, because they program lots of different techniques there. Few of them are Japanese. It's interesting, but... And I Of course, here in the mountains in Garrocha, I make my own projects as a teacher. Here I feel really creative, and I am teaching about different Oriental artists. My courses here are a little bit more academic, but of course always with a practice. The end always is to feel what happens when you paint. But I here, because I thought that here is an interesting place to show what happens with the Oriental way of look at the nature, because the relation with nature, especially in Zen, for me is something interesting, and it makes sense to teach that here, because we are surrounded of a beautiful nature. Now I am preparing for this summer an exposition. It will be part of this Tokyo works that I explained before.
Yeah.
Will come to this place, and will stay here for 2.5 months. And my idea, and I think it will happen, is to explain during 2 months this interesting interaction between this kind of art and nature, and the respect with nature. My teacher in Tokyo will come a few days here. Yeah, so it becomes something personal struggling, but I'm very happy that she decided to come and see what happens here. I just registered an association called Mediterranean Sumi-e Association. I think my mission, or mission, I don't know, is to show and explain this art not only as an art practice, but a philosophical, perhaps, way of life. And this is the reason I created the association, because in Spain there are few painters, but we are a bit random.
Scattered. Working.
I would like to make projects all together, because together we have more, a bigger voice or something. And no more plans.
No, this is great. You know, the fact that you are so focused, and the fact that you want to use your experience, your knowledge, your passion, your love for what you do, you want to clearly, as you yourself said, have a bigger voice for it. And, you know, you want to use it as a way of life to try and give other people the opportunity to also think like that. And I think that's like a really, really, you know, a plan that I can see is straight from the heart. And, you know, and it's incredible. Yeah. I wish you all the very best. And very quickly, where exactly is your home in the mountains? How far is it from Barcelona?
Yeah, my home, this home is in a little village called Sant Privat d'en Bas. I will write you later.
Sant Privat d'en Bas.
Yeah, okay, Sant Privat d'en Bas. This is in a beautiful valley and municipality called Vall d'en Bas.
Okay.
It's 9 kilometers from Olot.
Yeah.
Olot is the city, the capital of Garrocha.
Yeah.
And from Barcelona is 1 hour, 10 minutes by car.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
because even Olot is about, I would say, close to 2 hours, right, by car, or slightly less than 2 hours.
Less.
I've been to Olot, and I've been around that area.
Yeah, you know, it's a volcanic
Yeah.
territory, but this part of Garrocha is a little bit more green, and it's a very interesting place to know, not only because art, but just for the landscape and the beautiful forest, the river and mountains. It is very special about animals. Here we have special amphibious animals,
yeah.
And birds, and lots of special, unique animals to see. I love being surrounded animals and nature. And
with nature, I think that.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing I want to tell you is that this home is more than 600 or 700 years old. My husband and me were looking for this kind of place for a long time. And now, right now, I feel that restore this old home is something like a present to the world, because I feel that, of course, it's us, but our vocation is to receive people here inside. In fact, we are receiving people to paint, to learn, to talk, to trust one another. And I think this kind of initiative has something beautiful to the world.
Yeah.
Because it's to compartir, to...
Yeah. Compartir, to share. To
is share these old stones with people.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. It's just been so nice talking to you, Christina. I could have gone on and on and on, but I guess at some point I will need to end the conversation. But once again, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed listening to you and you sharing, you know, so openly and so generously your journey, and you know, and where you are today. Looking at you, you know, I feel like a certain calmness. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you to you, Payal. The pleasure is mine, and see you, I don't know, in Barcelona, in Singapore, or here.
Or somewhere, up in the mountains, or somewhere, who knows?
In the world.
In the world, yeah.
Thank you, Payal. And thank you for your project. It's very interesting that you give voice to different artists and people with interesting projects in the world. It's a kind of present to our sometimes difficult world.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. See you. Keep in touch. Keep
Besos.
In touch.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Will.
Besos.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.